make a change for once in my life.
Welcome to Make the Change, your weekly dose of inspiration for creating positive change in your life. Learn how changing your thoughts, feelings, words, and actions can lead to the life you desire and deserve. No need to go it alone. Let us become part of your journey to get from where you are to where you want to be. Every Saturday at noon, the show's host, Patricia Terrell, and her fabulous guests will lead you with a weekly prescription to invigorate your mind, body, and soul. Wait not a minute more. It's time to get started with Make the Change.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Make the Change radio show. I'm your host, Patricia Terrell, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We have a great show lined up for you, and we're going to talk about our food systems. And what I mean by that, we're talking about food safety, we're talking about access to nutritional food, and we're talking about hunger. And so when it comes to food safety, each year, roughly 1 in 6 Americans, and we're talking about maybe 48 million people, are getting sick from foodborne illnesses. And when it comes to accessing nutritious food, the sad reality is that many Americans cannot conveniently, that's the operative word, conveniently access nutritious food at affordable prices. Some neighborhoods in America are known as food deserts and food swamps, and these are places where it is hard to find nutritious food and where a lot of bad food options exist. Now, this is one that really is so disturbing to me. And despite the fact that we are living in one of the wealthiest, richest states in America, many Marylanders struggle with hunger. 1 in 8 households constantly struggle with hunger. Approximately 21% of households with children struggle daily to obtain enough food to eat. And nearly 10% of Marylanders live below the poverty line. That is very disturbing. But in today's program, we are going to discuss what food safety, access to nutritious food, and hunger looks like in our region. And we will learn what role public policy played in creating our current food system and how public policy can help improve it. We will also learn about the role each of us, every one of us, we have a role to play. And we're going to learn how we can play a role in influencing public policy that can help us better obtain access to safe, nutritious foods, combat hunger, and improve our overall health. And I must take the moment to introduce our sponsor, which is the Health Policy Research Consortium. This is their 6th and final show. It's been a great ride with HPRC, and I'm so grateful to have had them partner with me to get the word out about public policy and how we can impact public policy. And Health Policy Research Consortium, also known as HPRC, their mission is to educate and inform us about public policy, how public policy can improve our health, and what each and every one of us can do to drive public policy decisions in our communities. Remember, we have the power. We just have to learn how to exercise it. And in today's show, my wonderful guest, Mr. Byron Soji Thomas, who is HPRC's Deputy Director for Health Policy Research and Analysis, and Michael J. Wilson, who is the Director of Maryland Hunger Solutions. They're going to let us know about the power that we have to influence public policy and how we can exercise that power. Now, something that I decided to do that also is an extension from last week's show, and since this show is about hunger, when I spoke with Michael and Byron prior to the show, I was just so, you know, devastated about what's going on with hunger that I thought, you know what, let me see what I can do to do my part. So today I am also providing 4 food gift cards from Shoppers, each worth $25. And so this will be made available to callers who call into the show today and who can present a question to one or both of our guests. And with that said, the call-in number is 1-800-450-7876. Again, that's 1-800-450-7876. 866-786-7676. Be sure to call in to get your $25 gift card from Shoppers Warehouse. So without further delay, let's get started by bringing our wonderful guests on air. Joining me in the studio again is Byron Soji Thomas and Michael J. Wilson. Welcome to Make the Change Radio Show.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
Okay, great. So let's get started. I know that you're not as shocked as the statistics, because some of these statistics I got from you guys, but let's talk about them. So Byron, I want you to take a moment to briefly discuss what HPRC does and why this subject of our food system is so important to HPRC.
Okay, thank you, Patricia, so much for today. And yes, the Health Policy Research Consortium is funded by the National Institutes of Health, as you indicated. And our job is to investigate the intersection between health policy and health outcomes in this region. So that means, what is it that is happening from a public policy standpoint that impacts the health in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Delaware, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. And so we have gotten involved in this question of the food system because we understand the direct link it has to health. I mean, because we all eat. And food is not just fuel, it's also nutrition, which means it helps keep your body healthy. And so, as you indicated, some people don't have convenient, affordable access to good food. There are many people who have access to bad food. And there are many people who, unfortunately, are not aware of the damage that bad food can do to your body over time. In Prince George's County, for example, there are about one-third of the adults are obese, about another one-third are overweight, so two-thirds of the adults in Prince George's County. And thankfully, some of those numbers are coming down now. But this is a public health problem, and it's a public policy problem. So we decided that this would be one of the things that we would be involved in from the standpoint of investigating where the answers are, and which is how I met Michael. And so we're very grateful for the opportunity to talk about this. We want to talk about, you know, as we've been doing in the show, talking about issues like this. We've spoken about environmental issues. We've spoken about breast cancer. We've spoken about immunizations. And so our role with the radio show and our other outreach opportunities is to make sure that we don't just do research and write reports. We want to make sure that we are able to communicate what we learn and communicate in conversations and forums like this what it means for the individual person to be able to touch these policy levers and push them to influence the health of their communities. So it's good to be here.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that. And Michael Wilson, tell us what this means to Maryland Hunger Solutions. Tell us what you do and what it means to you.
Well, first, Patricia, I want to thank you very much for inviting us on the show. We're really glad to be able to talk with you and with your guest and with your audience about the important issues related to hunger. So as Byron said, you know, Maryland Hunger Solutions, we work on hunger issues throughout the state of Maryland. And hunger is a proxy for poverty in lots of ways, but when our organization was founded in 2007, we were focused on trying to end hunger in the state of Maryland. And hunger can be ended if we address the issues of poverty and if we use the existing federal nutrition programs, which already exist, to try to address hunger for folks for a variety of different methods, whether it's the food stamp program, which helps people who are experiencing poverty, whether it's the school meals programs, which help kids in schools all around the state, and whether it's the WIC program, and whether there are other public policies which we can advocate which help, you know, expand and improve federal nutrition programs and also utilize other anti-poverty programs. So we're glad to be able to talk about those things today with your audience.
Okay, great. And thank you so much for that, Michael. So let's start off with food safety. And, you know, I did open the show with startling statistics about how many people are sickened annually due to foodborne illnesses. So what is going on, Byron, with our food systems that cause approximately 48 million people to get sick?
Good question. I think I should start by saying that there are actually robust, strong infrastructure, systems in place to protect our food. Unfortunately, sometimes there are cracks in the infrastructure. Sometimes there's human error. Sometimes there are things that are criminally related. But I think the audience should understand that sometimes when these events occur, they are usually not deliberately, you know, it's not like it's an arson situation where somebody deliberately lights a fire. It's usually something that happens because somebody did not know the protocols or did not know the systems or somebody was careless. There are obviously the times when people try to cover up mistakes in the system. But let me speak about the infrastructure that is in place. So at the federal level, there are multiple agencies that help to ensure our food safety. And so if the audience would go to foodsafety.gov, you will see the expanse of the system. And it includes the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration. It includes the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it includes a variety of other federal agencies. And, for example, in 2011, the Food Safety Modernization Act was passed. And it authorizes the FDA to prevent and detect and respond to food safety problems, not just food that is grown in the U.S., but food also that comes from outside of the U.S. Then in addition to the whole federal infrastructure to do this, there are state food safety programs and regulatory bodies. Here in Maryland, we have the Office of Food Protection, which is run out of the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene in Baltimore. And it has a similar role to the federal government, but only for the state of Maryland. So if you were to go to foodsafety.gov, you could go there, which is the federal site, and you can see, if you don't live in Maryland, which government body directs all the activities for food safety in your state. So in Maryland, it goes all the way from doing food inspections to making sure that people are properly licensed to operate if they're doing restaurants or if they're tracking food. It goes all the way to making sure that people who sell food follow state and federal law. There are entire systems to do this. So, but there is another important point to make, though, that if somebody is sickened by the food that they eat, it's important that they report it. Just so that if you report it and if you need to go to the emergency room, you do that so that the process can begin to identify where your food was contaminated, because that would involve usually lab work to find out, okay, what bug was that? And when you find the bug, to trace it and track it to where the initial contamination might have happened. So the first place that you would report it, obviously, if you need to go to the emergency room, would be the emergency room that you go to. And then from there, once you're well enough, you can, as I said, like in Maryland, you would call the Office of Food Protection or you call your local health department. And local health departments are also part of the infrastructure. So you have the federal, you have the state, and you have the local. So I don't know if Michael would like to add anything to that.
Yes, absolutely. Would you, Michael?
So food safety is not one of the issues that we spend a lot of our effort on, and there are a lot of great organizations that are doing that already. So I would echo what Byron's already said, only to say that it's important to report whenever possible. So that's the only way that officials really know what's going on.
Right, and I also want to toss this back to Byron for a moment, because when it comes to food safety, there are things that we need to do on at the family or individual level. So you want to talk about some of that, Byron?
Absolutely. And so these are really like common sense things. I mean, if they're fresh produce, you need to wash them. If it's meat, I mean, some people eat raw meat, like if you eat sushi. But for most meats, you need to cook them at a certain level to make sure you kill all the bugs, if there are any bugs in it. If you're buying the food, you need to do your own visual inspection, pick it up, turn it around, see if there's any...
Give it the sniff test.
The sniff test, make sure the package is unbroken. You need to just do pretty basic common sense things. Sometimes the packaging would have instruction about what you do with it. If you're uncertain and you haven't left the grocery store yet, you can ask the people there. But there, again, go back to foodsafety.gov. They're whole, actually. There's an educational component to that website. So if you go there, foodsafety.gov, you can find advice about how to treat food. And don't leave things out too long that are like dairy or eggs or something like that. Or you just need to be clear that you're trying to protect your body. And the thing is that we have bacteria all around us, bacteria in us, on us, bacteria on food, bacteria in the environment. And sometimes if you give them room to grow, they will.
Absolutely. And so, if you have any type of autoimmune deficiencies, or you're sick or senior, you have to be even more careful. But let me ask you this, Byron, when it comes to policy, is there anything that we can do from a policy perspective to ensure that our food is safe?
Well, yeah, I do, and I'm glad you asked that. I mean, it begins with understanding, first of all, that you have your own obligation for your own safety and your own health to do what is necessary to make sure that you're consuming food that is good for you. You have an obligation to report things if things go wrong. You eat something, you know where you got the food from. Once you've gotten your own health taken care of, you need to tell your local health department, and you need to tell the state if you need to make sure that there's a lab somewhere that can help to do this investigation, because sometimes it's an actual investigation, like somebody investigating a crime, where you need to figure out, okay, where did this happen? Where did it come from? But from a policy standpoint, and I'm glad Michael is here, there are things to do that we can do as individual people to make sure we are aware of what the policies are. Michael has already alluded to the WIC program. He has alluded to the food stamp program and the meals in schools. If you are dealing with a hunger situation in your own family, or you know of people, or you're volunteering for an organization that does this, you just need to know what the programs are and where you can go to get them. So I'm glad Michael is here, because he's more the expert on actually how those work.
Okay. And so, Michael, before we go on to the issue of access to nutritious food, did you want to elaborate on that point at all?
Yeah, I think the important thing is, you know, there are a lot of folks who have access to food and who are eating food that's nutritious, and there are a lot of folks who don't have access. And I think the food safety component is, sometimes we're doing things because of cost or because of expediency, because we think we can't afford to do anything else. And the truth is, none of us can afford to get sick. And it's always better to have safety rather than worry about short-term outcomes. So that's the part of that I would address.
Okay, great. So before we do that, we do have a caller. Her name is Patricia from Washington, D.C. So Patricia, you're on the air. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a comment and a question. I wanted to make mention. I found out about the SHARE program when I was working as a social worker in a group home, because I was trying to find affordable ways for these young men to buy their monthly food. And I found out about the SHARE program, where I think it's Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, where once a month you can purchase these value packs of food, which tend to be very nutritious. And I think they're partnering with local farmers. That's one thing I wanted to share. And I think it's ran by Catholic Charity. I don't know if your guests are familiar with the SHARE program, the SHARE food program.
Yes. So there are a number of SHARE programs in the local areas. They are very helpful to local farmers, because it gives mm-hmm. them direct access to customers who want to buy their products. And it lets them know that if they grow, you know, lots and lots of tomatoes or lots and lots of spinach, they'll have a guaranteed market for that. And what people do is they pay ahead of time for it, and then you get a monthly, or in some cases it's a weekly allotment, so that you can continue to purchase those products. So it's great for folks who want to purchase local products, who are healthy, as well as it helps local farmers have a market for their products.
Yeah, and it's a very good value. People can just Google SHARE program and it'll come up on the internet. The other thing I wanted to ask, you know, you have these fast food restaurants. I'm not going to call any name, but some of them are open 24 hours a day. They're open 24 hours a day, and they're, you know, they're having value meals, and these meals are not healthy, you know, and they're marketing to our community, you know, we're drinking sugar and eating starch. And, you know, what can we do to counter, you know, these efforts that even the kids are being marketed to? I mean, I drink a lot of water. I don't know when the last time I had a soda. I'm not saying that I don't drink it occasionally, maybe once every 6 or 7 months. But what can we do to try to let the community know that, you know, even though you're ordering off the dollar meal, that food is not good and it's not healthy?
Okay. And before you answer that, and thank you so much, Patricia, Give the audio engineer Melody your last name, because we definitely want to make sure you get one of the $25 gift cards, okay?
And I won a prize?
You won a prize, absolutely. Oh. A gift, we'll say that it is. So we'll let Michael and Byron answer your question. And so is the question really about how can we better control the number of fast food restaurants that get in our neighborhoods? Is there a policy aspect to that?
I think the question, the way she phrased it, was how do we impact that for ourselves and for our communities? And so I think the first answer to that is what we have to do for ourselves. Every time you make a decision about what you eat and what you drink and where you purchase it has an impact on you and on your local community. So I'm going to talk a little bit about pop, because that's what I do, which is, and I know she said she doesn't drink it often. I haven't had a pop since the 4th of July, 1976. I don't drink it. And so every decision you make about what you eat and what you drink on an individual basis has an impact. It also has an impact on you and your family, because our taste buds are trained when we're very young, which is why the things that we try to have kids eat and drink in school meals has gotten better. It's not perfect, but it's gotten better, and it's different from when I was in school. It's different than it was in schools even 10 years ago. The 2010 Healthy Hunger-Free Schools Act, Kids Act, which passed the Congress and the President Obama signed, was very helpful in terms of having healthier meals for all of the schools and having more school meals available to low-income kids. So that's important. And then the last part is, I mean, and Byron and I know we'll talk about this, the Food Equity Council in Prince George's County has been very focused on trying to have access to healthy meals so that people have options other than just a local fast food restaurant. People need options, whether they're making it at home or whether they're buying something at a restaurant. We need more and better options so that people don't feel like the only thing I can do is to go to this fast food restaurant at this time.
Okay, and before we pass it to Byron, I'm going to go ahead and let Byron talk about the Food Equity Council. But before I do that, Michael, where are you from originally? Because you said pop.
I'm originally from Michigan.
Okay, because see, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and that's what we call sodas back then, pop.
That's right.
So I just want to make sure for the
listeners. Still call it pop. We're still going to call it pop.
Absolutely. So I just want to make sure our listeners know who are from here who call it big soda pops or whatever. We call it pop.
We're
going to
teach them. We're going to call it pop.
Okay. So I wanted to clarify that point. Okay. So Byron, tell us about the Food Equity Council that Michael set up for you to talk about.
Yeah. So as I indicated at the outset, in Prince George's County, there's a need to deal with an obesity challenge. So the county has been looking at different ways to do that. So one of the ways was to set up this Food Equity Council to study the food system, figure out what is actually available. How many of these places are food deserts? Patricia mentioned the food deserts and the food swamps. So the food desert, as she said, just for you who were not there at the beginning, the food desert is when you have this neighborhood where it's not within walking or a short driving distance to get to nutritious food. And a food swamp is where you have a whole lot of bad food all around you. And so the county wanted to know, well, how many of these are in our county? And what can we do to change the situation so that every Prince Georgian can get up and go get nutritious food? So the questions are, how can we make sure the healthy options are available? What are these healthy options? Can we get a farmer's market? Can we get an urban farm? Can we get a mobile situation where a mobile truck goes around driving and parks in a different place in the county? How are we doing with food inspections in restaurants? What do people know about finding when the farmer's market is open in their neighborhood? What can we do about teaching people how to eat healthy and how to shop healthy and how to cook healthy? What can we do? What can we do on the advocacy side and on the legislative side? And that is to say, what can we tell Annapolis about what's going on? What kind of laws or regulations are they trying to pass at the state level that can impact the access to healthy food? So this has been useful. The Equity Council is made up of research people and university people and people who run food banks and people who are interested in urban farms and people who teach about nutrition. And so there are a number of different voices there to make sure that we build a system in the county that does good work. But, you know, there are efforts like these, similar and different in some ways, in any number of different places around the region. But there are important things, to go back to the caller's question, such as in Philadelphia, for example, they've passed a soda tax where they tax the amount of sugar per ounce in the beverage, so that to make sure that, you know, whoever is manufacturing it or selling it understands that they're going to be sending money back to the city or the state's coffers, depending on how much sugar is in the drink. And so when you do these kinds of things, there are any number of these ways that you can do to help people and help merchants and help consumers figure out how to reduce the intake of whatever is not good for you.
Okay, great. We have a couple of minutes left. And before we go ahead to talk about anything else, I just want to let our listeners know that we are talking about food systems, food safety, access to nutritious food, and hunger. And I'm joined by Byron Soji Thomas of Health Policy Research Consortium and Michael Wilson with the Maryland Hunger Solution. And we're also giving away, now we have three left, $25 gift cards from Shoppers Food Warehouse. So the call-in number is 1-800-450-7876, and we'll definitely be ready to take your calls and questions on the other side. So don't go anywhere, and we will be right back.
If you live in Prince George's County, Maryland, listen up for this important announcement about how you can gain access to resources that can improve your health. The Health Policy Research Consortium, also known as HPRC, has a mobile app called Health Connect Prince George's that can help you find local resources such as farmers markets, parks and hike trails, recreation centers, community health centers, hospitals, pharmacies, and much more. The Health Connect Prince George's app is available for download on Google Play and the iTunes App Store. You can also visit www.hprc.info. That's www.hprc.info, and click the links at the bottom of the page. Download the Health Connect app today to connect you and your community to a healthier tomorrow.
Hello, welcome back to the second half of Make the Change Radio Show. I'm your host, Patricia Terrell, and I want to let you know that we're talking about food systems. We're talking about food safety, access to nutritious foods, and hunger. And earlier, we covered a lot of ground regarding the different types of agencies and ways in which we can ensure that our food is safe and what we can do public policy-wise to make sure that that is the case. And we were talking about the Food Equity Council, and there was a program that we talked about in Prince George's County. So now we want to go ahead and talk about the Food Equity Council and what else is available in Maryland. So let me give that to you, Michael J. Wilson. He is here with Maryland Hunger Solutions, and also Byron Soji Thomas, who is with Health Policy Research Consortium, our sponsor for today's show. So, Michael, you were telling me during the break that we also have a program in Montgomery County, and why don't you tell us about that program?
Right. So, first of all, I think Byron did a really good job talking about the Food Equity Council and the way it works on food systems, and they have advocates and folks from all around the community participating in doing that, and they're always looking for more. So, if you really are interested, you should look up the Food Equity Council and join it. Here in Montgomery County, they have a Food Policy Council, and the Food Policy Council has been working on a variety of issues, including food waste, including expanding food and nutrition to low-income folks. But beyond that, they've been working with the county council, which has determined that they want to create a hunger-free county in Montgomery County. They want the county itself to be hunger-free. And I think they realize that that means dealing with some of the poverty issues. It means using not just the federal nutrition programs and the state programs, but also local programs. And so they're trying to work to pull all that together to really make an impact here in Montgomery County. And we've worked with them on that, and we applaud them for that vision and that forethought, for the aspiration to be able to make that happen. That's really, really a powerful thing.
Okay, and we're going to go ahead and get into the topic of hunger. But before we do that, Maritza called during the first half. So let's go ahead and see if we can get Maritza on the line to either pose a question or make a comment. Maritza, are you there?
Yes, I am. I thank you for taking my call. And I'm a first-time listener to your show, so I'm very thankful for what you do because I'm very much interested in health and providing the best foods that we are able to access. And I know that's a difficult question because I've moved to different states, and I notice everywhere I go, there's always a different way of finding where to find the best foods that are available. And sometimes I go to farmers market, and I'm not even sure where these foods are coming from. So my question would be if there's any website or something available locally to people who could access to find out where the food sources and where the foods are coming from, because I understand that GMOs are also part of the federal agency, if you know what I'm trying to say. So even if we're buying vegetables, we're not sure even if they're GMOs because a lot of times they're not even labeled. So I'm just concerned about what I see, and I thank you for what you do, too.
Oh, absolutely. And make sure you give your information to Melody, and we'll make sure that we give you your $25 gift card from Shoppers, okay? And thank you for tuning in.
Well, happy holidays. Thank you so very much.
Okay, you got it. And Byron, I wanted to start with you because one thing that HPRC has, you do have a health policy app that allows people to find great food and what have you. So why don't you talk about that and then whatever else you want to share afterwards.
Yes, well, thank you for that setup, Patricia. We have available on the Google Play and the App Store Health Connect Prince George's, which is an app that can help you find food and parks and walking trails and doctors and pharmacies and hospitals around. But that's one way. You can download that for free. But there are other opportunities for you to find. I'm not sure where you live, but if you go to the in Maryland.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you go to the Office of Food Production in Baltimore, you might be able to. That's associated with the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene in Maryland. And if you go to the Maryland Hunger Solutions website, you can also find some information there.
Okay. Well, what about you, Michael? What do you have to say to Maritza?
So, Maritza, I'd say a couple of things. Welcome to the area, first of all. Secondly, there is an organization in Maryland known as the Maryland Farmers Market Association. And if you go to their websites, they can tell you where local farmers markets are all over the state. And they've done a great job of creating more markets for local farmers to be able to sell to local consumers. In addition, we worked with them early on, and they run a program that we think is very important and very innovative, whereby if you use your food stamp dollars or your WIC dollars at the farmers market, you can get additional dollars. They have raised private money so that you get a bonus, so that the $5 you spend from your food stamps at the farmers market can become $10. And you get more healthy food. It's better for the farmers because they can sell more products to more local folks. And it's really good, especially for low-income consumers who can now have a chance to participate in the farmers market. And they actually call it Maryland Market Money. And it's a very great program.
Okay, thank you so much for that. And we do have Anne. Anne, you are definitely live on the air. Do you have a question or comment?
I certainly do. Monsanto.
Monsanto?
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about them?
What is your question about them? What do you want to know specifically?
They're in the market so that you can find out what goes into the food, and they're being backed by members of Congress.
Okay, so is there
paid by them to do so?
Is there any way that we can, and I'm directing this to both of you, Byron and Michael, that may help the answer because they probably will not be able to speak specifically to a corporation, but is there any way that we can use public policy to impact what goes in our food and how to protect ourselves from the GMOs and the pesticides and things of that nature? Does that help in getting towards your answering your question, Anne, maybe?
Getting towards it, yes. I was even told that y'all couldn't talk about it. So prove that a story. Prove that untrue.
Okay, well, we're not here to prove anything, but we're here to address the...
I mean, this is public information.
I know, but you have to understand, too, that we can't target names of corporations. We cannot defame and things of that nature. That's what we're trying not to do. But what we will do is talk about any type of public policy that we can take, that you can take, and that will help you to prevent companies like Monsanto from doing harm. And so that's what we want to talk about. Byron, why don't you start there?
Yes. Well, the short answer is that if there are any concerns like that that you have, there are elected representatives that you were that were elected at the ballot at the voting booth that you should have access to at the local level, whether county or city. You should take your concerns there. At the state level, you can take your concerns there. At the federal level, you can take your concerns there. At the local, at the state, and at the federal level, they're all involved in food issues all the time. And they hear all the complaints about people worried about the safety of the food, people worried about the genetics of the food, people worried about whether or not they can get an infection from eating the food, people worried about where they can get access to the food, people worried about whether they can afford the food. So the first thing you should do as a citizen is take your concerns to elected officials and say, this is my concern, how can you help me, where can I find more information? But before you go to them, you can use the U.S. Department of Agriculture's website and get some information. You can go to foodsafety.gov and get some information so you're armed with enough information to ask the questions that are on your mind.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give it over to you, Michael, to respond to Ann's question.
So if the question is about a particular corporation or even too many corporations participating in the process, then I think that we all have concerns about that. There was an election recently. I think we all know that that election happened, and we know what the results are and whether that's going to have an impact on this as well. And so what I would say to Ann and to anybody is, you know, voting in the election is an important part, but that's not the beginning or the end of our ability to be able to influence this. So at some point in 2017, the Congress is going to reauthorize another farm bill. And they call it the farm bill because it deals with farms and agricultural products and, you know, things that corporations like Monsanto are interested in. But the truth is, 80% of the funding in the farm bill is about food stamps. It's about hungry people. And so our hope, our goal is to strengthen and protect the food stamp program in the farm bill, because that's of critical importance. Other issues will be resolved as well, whether it's GMOs, whether it's genetic testing, whether it's importing of food. But the major part of the funding is about food stamps. And for the millions of hungry people, 1 in 9 in Maryland, over 700,000 people in the state of Maryland using food stamps, that's really been the focus that for most of us and for a lot of our work.
Okay, and I hope that answered your question, and I want to let you know to make sure you leave your phone number with Melody so that we can get you your $25 gift certificate. And thank you so much for the question, and we do hope that we were able to answer it in the best of our ability. So now we're going to go ahead, and we're going to talk about hunger. So we want to talk about hunger. At the beginning of the show, I provided some startling statistics that came from your website, Michael, and from the Maryland Hunger Solutions website, telling us that 1 in 8 households struggle constantly with hunger, and also that 21% of households with children struggle to obtain food to eat on a daily basis. Michael, how is this possible when we live in the richest state, Maryland, the richest state? How is that possible?
It's possible because we have the dichotomy of having the wealthiest state in the nation by per capita income, but still knowing that we have poverty in every part of our state. So there's poverty, obviously, there's poverty in Baltimore, there's poverty on the Eastern Shore, there's poverty in Western Maryland, but there's also poverty even in Montgomery County and in Howard County, which are very wealthy, as well as Prince George's County. And so the challenge for us is to utilize these existing programs the best ways possible to address hunger, whether it's kids in school, or whether it's senior citizens who are using food stamps, or whether it's other folks who are dealing with poverty who have to deal with the bureaucracy around the program so that they can access food and be as healthy as they possibly can. So, you know, one of the numbers that I always remember from the food nutrition director in Montgomery County is she says that there are more children on free and reduced meals in Montgomery County than there are students in the District of Columbia.
That's startling.
There are more students who are on free and reduced meals in Montgomery County than there are students in the District of Columbia. And so Montgomery County is often thought of as a wealthy county, but the truth is there is poverty here as well. And so the challenges that we have and to address those things are real, and we're working on the legislative level in Annapolis as well as in D.C. to try to address that as best that we can.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these, the groups of people who are experiencing hunger. Let's talk about, you just talked about the children, but we also have issues with our seniors, right?
That's correct. That's right. So one of the issues we've learned is that, for those who don't know it, the minimum food stamp benefit in the state of Maryland and around the country is $16 a month, not 60, one-six, $16 a month.
Okay, hold on. Is that for one individual or a family of four, or does it matter?
So what matters is the income and the expenses of the households. In most cases, these are single-person households from our experience, but they're of different ages, and they're all around. They're in every part of the state. And so the $16 a month clearly doesn't let you do very much. And so we advocated in Annapolis that we should have something in Maryland, like our colleagues in the District of Columbia. In the District of Columbia, the city council made the decision that no one should get less than $30 a month. 30 isn't a boon, but it's more livable. And so we asked the state legislature to make it $30 a month as well. And we brought in a woman from Bethesda who was 79 years old, who told the legislators, I get $16 a month.
Wow.
And what happened was the legislature, in their wisdom, decided to raise the minimum so that no one would get less than 30, but only for those who are 62 and over.
Wow.
So we view that as a step forward. Truthfully, we call that a half a loaf, and we will take half a loaf, and we will go back and fight for the other half. But for folks who are 62 and over, to get $30 a month is really meaningful, and we were really grateful that the state legislature did that.
So if there's a listener out there who's receiving $16 a month, you're letting them know that they can get an increase if they do the right thing, go to the right place. What can they do?
Well, if you're getting $16 a month, according to the state Department of Human Resources, they're automatically going to boost you up to 30.
Okay.
But if you have not signed up, if you're a senior and you didn't want to sign up because it was only $16 a month, and there are thousands of folks like that in Montgomery County, now is the time for you to sign up and get benefits, because you're not going to get $16. You're going to get 30, and that's going to be better for your health. It's going to be better for your nutrition. And that's going to be better for dollars circulating in our local economy and grocery stores and farmers markets.
Okay. And let's talk about the homeless. I mean, that's a pretty big one. Do you want to talk about the homeless and the hunger there? Is that too big for our show today?
Well, there's a lot there to unpack. So I don't think we can deal with all of that issue. But I would say this. If you're homeless in Maryland, you are still eligible for the food stamp program. And so you can contact us at Maryland Hunger Solutions. You can reach out to your local DSS office. We will get you signed up. I think there are a lot of other services that people who are experiencing homeless need. But getting in the door and beginning to talk about how you can have food and nutrition is a helpful place to start, and we can help make those connections as well.
Absolutely, because the definition of homeless has changed over the years. I mean, it's not just that person living on the street in the cold or in the heat.
That's exactly right. So there are a lot of folks who are homeless because they don't know where they're going to spend the next night. So they may be with a friend one night and a different friend the next night, and maybe in a shelter the third night. And so this kind of homelessness is really a problem. And, it's recognized by a lot of public policymakers and people who deal with people experiencing poverty.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the public policy tools that are available to solve hunger at the federal, the state, and the local level. Byron, did you want to start off with some of that in terms of any public policy tools that we can utilize to combat hunger?
Yeah, well, Michael is actually the expert on that, but I would just add that if, in fact, just make one point and turn it back to Michael, because he really is the expert on this. If somebody's getting $30 a month as a benefit for getting food, that's a dollar a day, people. And so think about in your own daily life, the last day in your life that you spent a buck for food for the whole 24-hour period. Think about that for a minute and let that sit with you. And think about what you would do if you knew somebody in that situation, and whether or not you would pick up the phone and call somebody, or what you would want somebody in authority, somebody in power, somebody with policymaking ability to know about that, how you would want to mobilize and become engaged in this. Usually, we don't change these things unless the people with the power to change them know that that is the situation. If the people with the power of the vote in the elected state house or county council or city council are encouraged to think about having to live on a dollar a day for food, it helps put a fine point on it. When you consider that if you were to go to a nice restaurant, that doesn't get you the glass of water. So it is important that as an average, as a citizen, as a member of the community, that we think about, okay, well, if somebody said I should eat using a dollar a day, how do I begin with eating for a 24-hour period, or maybe 16 because you sleep 8, if you can sleep being hungry? How do you then, for 16 hours, eat with a dollar a day? And if that were you or that were your loved one, what would you do? Who would you call? Where would you go? Would you want to make sure that the people in power, the policymakers, would hear about this and find out a way how we can get that fixed?
You know, that's very powerful, Byron. I'm so glad that you responded, because that puts it in perspective. You know, what do you even try to eat for a dollar a day? Michael, take it away.
Well, the truth is, even if you're experiencing poverty at that level, you're having to get help in other places. So the Capital Area Food Bank provides lots of meals for people experiencing poverty. The Manna Food Center in Gaithersburg, Maryland provides food. There are food pantries and food banks throughout our community. But I think the truth is, we don't want people to have to suffer in that way and have to depend on the kindness of strangers all the time. And the wealthiest state per capita in the nation, in the wealthiest nation in the world, should be able to make sure that our folks have access to healthy food. Kids who are hungry can't learn. People who are hungry can't work, much less find a job. People who are experiencing hunger have other health issues, so it affects our health system. And so we all have to find ways to do a better job of reducing hunger, reducing poverty. And I think one of the things we've learned, like Byron said, is to be able to tell the story so we can tell it to policymakers. So one of the people we had in Annapolis with us was a gentleman named Ronald Bailey, who had formerly been homeless, and now had turned his life around, was getting Social Security, was living in an apartment. But he told the state legislators, I'm getting $16 a month, a week. I'm getting 16 a week. And so when they decided that they were going to raise it, they wanted to raise it for those who actually who were 65 and up. And Ronald raised his hand and said, Mr. Chairman, I'm only 62. And there was a moment of silence in the room, and they decided that they would do it for those who were 62 and up. Because he was there.
That's right.
Because he raised his voice, because he told his story, he had an impact on thousands of folks throughout the state who are between 62 and 65. And so we were very grateful that he could tell his story. So you never know when you can have an opportunity to make a difference through your vote, through telling your story, through being able to share with your local neighborhood and your local community.
How do we use, are they hearings? How do we use the process, the tools, the things that are in place, like this gentleman did? How can an individual get in front of Congress and tell a story? When are those opportunities available, Michael?
So I think the best way to do that is actually to work through your local community organizations. In Montgomery County, the Montgomery County Food Policy Council is very much activated in doing a part of this, as are a variety of synagogues and churches and mosques. In Prince George's County, the Food Equity Council does a very good job of reaching out to the community and telling their stories. We've had principals from Prince George's County come to Annapolis on our behalf and talk about the challenges that kids have in learning and the importance of using the Maryland Meals for Achievement program, which is a really great program in Maryland to do in-school breakfast in the classroom. So there are opportunities, and I would suggest that you work through your local organizations, whether it's a union, whether it's a church group, whether it's a civic group, But in Montgomery and Prince George's County, we were fortunate to have two very good food policy councils and a food equity council.
Okay, let them know. Let's start letting people know where they can reach you guys. So let's go ahead and start with you, Michael, since you have the mic.
So the Maryland Hunger Solutions, we have a website, mdhungersolutions.org. That's the best way to reach us. Our email addresses are there. And you can see all the things that we're working on, whether it's school meals, whether it's after school meals, whether it's summer meals, whether it's, you know, getting people signed up for food stamps. If you know of an organization that wants to help sign people up for food stamps, not only do we do that, but we can also train other nonprofit organizations to do that. We can't end hunger in Maryland by ourselves. We need the help of as many people in the community as possible, which is how we got involved with the Food Equity Council, and I was fortunate enough to meet Byron and some of their great work.
Absolutely. So let's pass that over to Byron, and we'll talk about what HPRC is doing. So let us know how we can reach you as well, Byron.
Yes, hprc.info, hprc.info. And like Michael, you go there, you'll find all the information about how to reach us by phone. And most of the work we're doing with food is through the Food Equity Council. But we're also interested in studying and communicating about the issue. And so go to our website and poke around, and you'll be able to find some more information about that.
Okay, so let me ask one other question regarding hunger and how we can help as individuals. You know, you hear people talk about, okay, do not give the homeless food, don't do these things. But as an individual, this really touched me. So is there any way, Michael, for us to identify these families who are in need and help them individually, like, you know, adopting a family or anything with children? Is there anything we can do like that?
So I'm not aware of a way you can adopt a family. I mean, there may be programs run by churches or by synagogues or mosques where they do some of that work, and I would encourage you to think about that as well. But from our perspective, if you want to have a meaningful impact, the truth is we believe the government here has a responsibility at the state, local, and federal level. And so we should make sure that all these current programs are fully funded. Rather than have you take $5 out of your pocket, let's take 2 cents out of every dollar that you spend your taxes on and really make sure that these things get taken care of and that they are addressed. There are lots of organizations that can use your help, including the Capital Area Food Bank, including Mana Food. If you want to help sign people up for food stamps, contact Maryland Hunger Solutions. We utilize volunteers all the time in lots of areas throughout the state and places where people are experiencing poverty, and you can actually make a difference so that somebody can actually get an EBT card and go to the grocery store and provide food for themselves and their families.
Yeah, and that EBT card is really in a substitute for the actual food stamps that we used to get, right?
That's exactly right. So some of us are old enough to remember when food stamps actually were stamps.
That's right.
They're no longer stamps. They are an EBT card, just like a Visa or a MasterCard, and you slide it at the store or at the farmer's market, and you get your food, and you're able to do that with less stigma and less shame and be able to provide for yourself and your family.
You know, well, let's talk about this. I mean, we know that our legislators, and like Byron mentioned, you know, dollar a day, they know that no one can live off or eat and prevent hunger on a dollar a day. And so why is it that they don't care, or is this just a manner in which they're trying to discourage people using social programs? Help me to understand this, Michael.
Well, the first thing I'd say is I think many elected officials don't know, just like no one here knew that people get $16 a month. 30,000 people in the state of Maryland, $16 a month. So until we can inform you and inform them, we can't make a difference. And so I think it's incumbent upon organizations like ours, like HPRP and others, to be able to inform people so they can make intelligent public policy choices.
Right. And I know you said it's half a loaf, but, you know, when they had the opportunity to raise it from $16, they raised it to $30, still knowing that $30 would not suffice. Is there a reason why that happens, or is there a way for them to understand that it needs to go higher when we go for that other half of a loaf?
So they're always competing priorities. And would I have liked them to raise it more? Yes. Would I have liked them to raise it for more people? Yes. But I also know that moving from 16 to 30 for about 18,000 people in the state of Maryland was a step forward that would not have happened had we not made that effort. And so we're going to make other efforts because we want to make a difference in people's lives. But informing people is the first step, and then making a big, bold ask in a policy way is always important.
Okay, I have about 2 minutes. So let me give each of you a minute to let our listeners know what it is you want them to take away from today's message. Go ahead, Michael, and I'll let Byron close on it.
So I'll say that there's hunger in Maryland, and it's real. That there are organizations and individuals working to end hunger, whether it's in Prince George's County with the Food Equity Council or Montgomery County with the Food Policy Council or with Maryland Hunger Solutions and our partners around the state. And we're so thankful we had an opportunity to talk about this on the radio show today with you, Patricia, and with you, Byron. I think the more we can educate people and teach people about what the problems are and what the potential solutions are, the more chance we're going to be able to make a difference.
Okay, Byron.
Well, thank you, Patricia, and thank you, Michael, so much for this forum and for this opportunity. And thank you, listeners, for listening to us. And if you're blessed enough that you have enough and you're blessed enough that you can share with somebody else, please find an opportunity to do that. Otherwise, please try to reach us if you have more questions. The Maryland Hunger Solutions and the Health Policy Research Consortium. Thanks for listening.
Okay, and I just wanted to also thank both you, Byron Soji Thomas, and Michael J. Wilson, for all the work that you're doing in our communities to make a difference and create awareness. And I also want to thank Anne, Maritza, and Patricia for calling in today, and you will definitely be receiving your food cards. And I just want to just say thank you to both of you, okay?
Thank you, Patricia. We appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We're glad to be here.
Absolutely. And I want to thank all of our listeners out there for tuning in to Make the Change Radio Show. I know that you do have a choice each and every Saturday, so I do appreciate you for tuning in. And be sure to tune in next Saturday for more lively discussions about how you can make positive changes in your life. And we're going to make sure that this show is available for you to download. All you have to do is go to the website, makethechangeradioshow.com, and you will be able to listen to this show in addition to our archives. So again, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for the callers who called in. And thank you once again, Byron Soji Thomas from the Health Policy Research Consortium, and also Michael J. Wilson from Maryland Hunger Solutions. Thank you very much, and be sure to tune in next Saturday for more lively discussions about how you can make positive changes in your life.
Remember to tune in to Make the Change every Saturday from 12 noon p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also visit with Patricia at www.patriciaterrell.com for links to social media, email, and blogs. Thank you for listening today, and remember that changing the world starts with changing you.